Today we're going to start a series called God's Plan for Circle J Cowboy Church. And I tell you, I'm excited about that plan. It is not something I've made up. It's something God's made up. It's a biblical plan. And we've already heard some testimony today about what God's done to get us to this point. It's by faith that all this has taken place. It was by faith that five men came together and God led them and stirred their heart to start a cowboy church. It was by faith that the church came to a point in calling me. I was already in full-time ministry at another church. It wasn't like I was bivocational. I had to drop one and go do the other or not do the other, and the church called me. It was by faith that God provided a means for my family and I to make that move. It was by faith that God provided a way. I mean, guys, in this land, when we couldn't go to a bank, there wasn't enough of us, there was no way that could happen. And by faith, we began to pray and beg God for a place to hang a hat and give him glory, and he gave us this land. It was by faith, $115,000 later, that arena was, that God provided for. It was by faith that this building came about. I mean, chicken house brooder heaters, there was one in that corner, and just, and we were happy. Everybody wadded up in that corner. And then later on, we got so much money, we got two chicken house brooder heaters. And they were barred, and it was over in that corner. So you had a wad of people over there, and a wad of people over here, and a bunch of people in the band, like he's shaking to death, and extension cords running everywhere, no stage, but we were just proud. I remember the big day when I walked back there in the bathroom, everybody knew the preacher done lost his mind, and I went, that was a cool deal to not have to go take a leak when it's 40 or 20 degrees out there in a porta potty. And so all these things and every board that has taken place to this point. But guys, God is doing something else. And there are a lot more people that can fit in this building, even two or three times in a Sunday morning, that are out there that need to be reached. And so God's plan for Circle J Cowboy Church. And not right now, we have asked you to pray, and we have a building fund, and people have been putting money in. I think there's some $40,000 that's in that that'll go towards this. It started out as a bleacher fund, ended up being a bleacher slash building fund, and that is there, and you can give to that if the Lord leads you above and beyond a tithe or offering or whatever the Lord guides you to do. But we're praying that God would grow us physically, numerically, and we're praying that God will grow us spiritually. And that arena, putting a cover over that, last year we lost some 7 months of doing outreach ministry. And so we're praying that not happen. And this could happen. A joint recommendation from the elders and from the facility team could come before the church within the next 3 weeks. Really, it's that close. And so we are begging you to pray for God's direction. Begin to pray. If you haven't already been doing this, join us, guys. Beg God to do what we can't do. I'm telling you right now, we can't go to the bank and do this on our own. This is too much, too big. There's no way. And we're not talking about completely enclosed, and we've looked at that and so forth, but we're talking about a cover over this arena, bleachers, be a multi-purpose facility that we could come back in and build some additional education space in, because we're running out of space here, even in the classrooms and so forth and whatever. So be praying about that. Within the next 3 weeks, that could come before the church for a vote to be moving forward. But we are going, this can't happen. We can't go make a decision to do this. Just like every step has been an impossible step for us few little people to do, this is an impossible step. We have to put our faith and trust in God to do this. And so we're starting a series called God's Plan for the Family, and that's exactly what it talks about. It goes back to the Ephesians church, and I want you to turn there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. We'll start looking at that together. We'll be the base of this series of what God's plan is for Circle J Cowboy Church. It's not something I've come up with. It's not something that the American Fellowship of Cowboy Churches have come up. This is straight out of the Word of God, God's plan for a church and for Circle J. Paul heard of a church. This is one of the churches in the Bible that you want to be like. The Church of Corinth was an upside-down church. The two books are correcting error. There's nothing but problem after problem after problem that's being dealt with in that church. If you want to pattern yourself after a church in the Bible, take a church like this one. Paul was excited. He was proud about this church. And let's just begin to look at it here together. In verse 15 of chapter 1. It says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened." And there's three things he talks about here. "That you may know what is the hope of which he has called you." That's the first thing. The second thing, "and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints." And the third thing, "and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might." Let's pray. Father, we are certainly grateful that you brought us to this point. So many lives have been changed. Well over 200 people have given their lives to Jesus here, been baptized. There's more than that waiting to be baptized right now. Men and women and young people and even children that you've grown spiritually, and now they serve you. Instead of running from you and stiff-arming you and causing chaos for your kingdom, now they're on your side and working on your behalf for your glory and for your honor. Lord, you've done that here. We give you glory for that. In this church that Paul's talking about, he heard about their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their love towards the saints. I'm asking you, God, in Jesus' name, to make Circle J Cowboy Church heard for those two things. Our faith in you and our love towards each other. God, I can't do that, but I can sure share what your goals are for a church. And I'm begging you, grow us spiritually to the point where the region sees us for those two things. Not as a cowboy church, not as something fun for kids, but people working in factories, people teaching school, people sitting the backside of a horse. Would say, "Have you heard about those crazy people up there that put their faith in God? And for some reason, they don't cuss each other. And for some reason, they don't poke each other's eyes out. And they don't hit each other. They ain't griping and moaning and complaining that every other church has. There's something different up there. I think I'm going to go check it out." God, would you do that for us, for you? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, look here at verse 15. It says, "For this reason," Paul, he says, "because I have heard." Now, Paul's not here. He's writing this from prison, and he heard of their faith. And that's what I want to talk about today, faith. Something very simple, but he heard of a church that put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. This will be the base hub of this series, but to understand what faith is, we got to go to the faith chapter in the Bible and the faith book in the Bible. And I'm trusting that God will show you what He's done with me, but I want to start in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. He says, "Let us draw near, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." So the first thing he says in verse 22, he says, draw near. Draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. You see, if we're going to please God in this ministry called Circle J Cowboy Church, if you're going to please God in your family as a husband, as a wife, if you're single here today, if you're going to please God in your life with your kids, if you young people, if you're going to please God in your life as you're growing up and you're getting ready to go to youth camp and you kids are in here this morning fixing to go to Little Buckaroo Camp, if you're going to please God, it starts with what you do in drawing near to God with faith. Salvation starts right there. You've got to draw near. But even after you have become born again, you have to continually walk, step towards God to draw near to Him in faith. Look at verse 23 right there in chapter 10. It says, "And let us hold fast the confession." So we're going to have to hang on. We're going to hold fast. Like these guys were riding 8 seconds last night, trying to anyway. And they were holding fast with everything they had, every might they had. Guys, we're going to have to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who has promised is faithful. See, it's not what we can do. Guys, I sure hope you're not putting faith in this crazy, stupid cowboy preacher. Man, you need to be putting your faith in Jesus. I'm not hanging on to you for my success, guys. God's using you in my ministry, but my faith and my allegiance is to Jesus Christ. And we're all connected and we're hanging on to Him. Y'all got that? And don't put your faith in man. Don't put your faith in a guy next to you. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and He'll move us. So we're to hold fast. So we got to draw near. Number two, we got to hold fast. And look at verse 24. I want to read that. Verse 24 of chapter 10. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love," and we're going to talk about that more in messages to come, "to love and good works." In verse 25, it says, "not neglecting to meet together," just like we're doing here this morning, like we did last night, "as is habit for some, but here it is, encouraging one another, and all of the more as you see the days drawing near." So we are to encourage each other, guys. We're to encourage each other to put our faith. So we draw near to God, we hold fast to God in faith, and we encourage each other to put our faith in God. How many of y'all know that this world is all about discouraging you? Y'all wave your hand at me, okay? You come here today, you got things discouraging you. What he's saying is we ought to be a place that encourages each other to put our faith in God. Encouraging each other. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. See, when you're a Christian, faith is such a part of you becoming a Christian, but then after that, it just continues even more and more and more. Verse 38 says, "But my righteousness, one shall live by faith." So a Christian lives. It's an everyday deal for you to live by faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. And I'll just start with 1 here today. I don't know how far we're going to get, but if you're going to understand, if faith is going to take us to the next level, if that's what God wants out of this church, people to hear about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to understand what faith is. You got to understand where it comes from. You got to understand how you do it. You got to understand how important it is before you can get there. But it says, "Now faith," this is in chapter 11, verse 1, "faith is the absence or the assurance of things hoped for." Look at that. "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." It's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. "For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God," the spoken Word, "so that what we see was not made out of things that are visible." The first verse says, now faith is the assurance. It's, your translation may say, the substance. It's faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction. It's what gives you confidence in things not seen. And so this thing called faith, three things that I see in this scripture. First of all, number one, faith in this church, faith in your life, faith that you put in God to, in your career, in your job, in your family. Faith makes things that are hoped for, that you want, that you dream, that faith that you can't do, makes things that are hoped for to exist, and it gives you the things that are hoped to exist and the presence of what a believer. When you begin to put your faith in God, things that don't exist become things that exist. When we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to give us a place, we drove all over the country looking for places. And we prayed and put our faith in God. And what was not there, God made to exist. And so faith does that. So verse 1 says, faith is the substance. It's what brings substance to what we trust, what we hope in Him, what we believe for. So believing is a testimony. Now, guys, I hope you trust your wife. I hope you do. I trust my wife. I've been married to that pretty little gal for over 20 years now. I can't wait to get to 25 years. We had our 25th wedding anniversary when we were just 20 years because we just heard it was so good and has a special time, so we just went ahead and did it. I think we'll try that again next year too. But putting faith in God is what I can relate to is I trust my wife. I've seen her operate, and I've seen her not operate. I've seen how she responds. I've seen her make mistakes, and we've made mistakes together, and we're still going to make mistakes. But I trust my wife because I have confidence in her. He's saying when you trust God, it's because of His testimony that you have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. So trusting in Him because God has the power to deliver. Look at the second part of that verse. He says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, confidence of things not seen. So it's putting faith in Him to do something with nothing. See, we believe God and we believe that He will do these things. It's easier to not have faith than it is to have faith. Y'all with me? Say, aye! Aye! All right, wake that boy up next to you before I do. Yes, ma'am, I'll do it. Believe me. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, no, I'm not either. Yeller hot shot right there. The simple way is to not put your faith in God. The easiest way is to not put your faith in God. It's natural to not put your faith in God. But the closer you get to God, the more you understand that without putting your faith in God, you're just handling your life with what you got in your little fingers, with what you can see, feel, and touch. Proverbs says that you're to lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll make you path straight. That's hard to do. First thing, when I started getting all these numbers coming at us on this multipurpose facility, I think the first number we got for completely enclosing was like 1.6 million. And we're like, man, good gracious, you know how much money that is? That's a lot of money. And I remember God, He's brought this thing. That's not what they're proposing. It's just a cover over the deal, but still it's a lot of money. I remember steps in my life where I've said, I can't do that. Happens all the time. But a believer, after he sees God operate, there's something happened just recently in my life, and I couldn't do anything else. You ever get in a situation like that? You've talked, you've prayed, you've read Scripture, you've asked for help. Y'all get with me here. You've asked for help. You've done everything you can do. That's the most uncomfortable place in the whole wide world you can be. You know why? It's because you can't control it. The most uncomfortable place I can be is when Todd Hervey's completely out of control in my family, in my ministry. It's like that yellow horse y'all saw me riding around out here, and the helpless feeling I had when every vet had done everything they could do to keep that horse alive. And I was so helpless. Money couldn't save his life. Prayer wasn't saving his life. And I had to make the decision to either let him suffer and die or put him down. It's that kind of helpless feeling in your gut when you can't control what's going on in your life. And all you have is to let go and put faith in God. Now listen, we think that's a bad thing. God sees that as a good thing. Do you hear me? God sees that as a good thing. When you lose control and you relinquish that because you don't have a choice, you give it to Him, God makes something happen out of nothing. We always have a choice. We don't have to draw near to Him. We can suck back from Him. We don't have to hold fast in faith. We don't have to do that. We can do everything we possibly do. We can be a little busybodies, and we can try to raise as much money here. We can do that. He may use all that for this building or whatever it may be for this church. But guys, this thing is not about just a building. This thing is not about this building you're sitting in right here. This thing is not about cowboy hats. This thing is not about people that like the Western heritage culture. Yes, that is our purpose statement. Yes, those are the ones that we're trying to reach, because Paul said, become all things to all men so that some may know Christ. There's a lot of churches around here that can't. They're not geared that way. They can't relate to. They're not trying to reach the Western heritage culture. So we've seen all those people that are just on a path, grease skids towards hell in the cowboy church movement. God has led us all across America to make a difference and step in the gap. The cowboy church are hanging in the balance between heaven and hell and a lot of people. Okay? And you're part of one of them, one of 200. But listen, this deal's not about the cover on that arena. This deal's not about the Western heritage culture. This deal is about people coming to know Jesus Christ. Y'all listen to me. You may think I'm contradicting. No. Paul said, I become all things to all men so that some may know the Lord. We're going to do that to the Western heritage culture. That's 20% of the people in this region. There's 250,000 people in this region. That's 50,000 people. They ain't nowhere near that here right now. There's a lot more to reach. You say, what's it about then, Brother Todd? It's about key people coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And then it's about them coming to a point that they're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then it's about them getting in the Word and getting some spiritual guts to them and growing spiritually. See, we're not about, as much as I'd love to have 1,000, 1,500 people coming here, and that's going to happen if we stay out of God's way, guys, I guarantee you. But that's not the goal. The goal is to get 1,000, 1,500 people that are growing spiritually. Okay? Not just coming to church. You can come to church and you can get beat up by the devil and not have any victory in your life all day long. You say, well, Todd, we got nothing but problems. No, that's not true. There's a lot of folks in this church. I am proud of what God is doing in this church. God has changed many, many, many people's lives in this church. And yeah, we got problems. Guess you know why we got problems? Let me say this. I said this to the lay pastors this last week. A church will grow spiritually directly, is directly related to how it deals with its problems. Okay? A church will grow spiritually is directly related to how it deals with its problems. What are problems? Sin. You get mad, torque somebody, me, somebody else, I guarantee you sin's in the middle of that deal. division, discord. The reason we have problems is because we have sin in the church. And the reason we have sin in the church is because we beg sinful people to come to church. Y'all with me? There's nothing wrong with that. So we got to deal with the sin in our individual lives so that we can grow spiritually. And if we don't deal with the sin in our individual lives, guess what? We don't grow spiritually. So we're begging more sinful people to come to Cowboy Church, church for the unchurched. So we're going to get more and more problems. Okay, right? Well, we want to stop this deal right now, go to the house, or just say, put a sign out there at the door that says, no more allowed? No. We're going to say, you got drug problems? Come to church. We say, you're addicted to pornography? Come to church. We say, you got broken marriage and relationships? Come to church. We say your family's in a wreck, you got child abuse, whatever it is, says come to church. We say you just got out of prison because you've done everything wrong in your life, we say come to church. You got all these problems in your life, guess what? Come to church. What better place to be than at the foot of the cross? Jesus said, I came to heal the sick, not those that are righteous. So if you're looking for a church where everybody's got it together, you better get your butt out of here before you get disappointed real quick. But I will tell you this, we are in process. And I couldn't be more proud, more prouder than any pastor in the world at what I'm seeing happen in this church right now, guys. Not only are you getting baptized, but you come into these round pen meetings and you're learning how to study the Word of God. Some of you cowboys have bought them Bibles on CDs and you've been telling me that you've been listening to the Bible in between checking cows and feeding cows in your feed truck. Said it's made a difference in my life. Some of you cowgirls have started working on these ministry teams. You're making a difference. You're why all these kids are going to camp. You've invested in souls. If you look back here on the bulletin board, there's a white sheet of some 160-something people in leadership. You've grown spiritually to the point that you have given your life to Jesus, you've gotten saved, you say, I want to be a part of what God's doing in this church, and you're on a ministry team working. We have 6 lay pastors now, guys that are like voluntary staff members helping me all the time. Couldn't do it without them. We got 3 elders. We have grown spiritually so much, there have been 2 churches that have started out of this one little church. Rafter J. Cowboy Church. Now Bowie County Cowboy Church. We were all together last night. That was a cool deal. That was a cool deal. When we said, y'all come to church tomorrow morning. If you live in the Hope region, you go at 10 o'clock. If you live in DeKalb region, you go at 9:30. And we're here at 10:30 if you're brave enough to come. It's happening. God has not put you on a ministry team for what is. He has put you on a ministry team for what is to come. Now you're here and you say, what's he talking about, ministry teams? If you're interested in getting involved in doing ministry, and using your time, abilities, and earthly treasures for these little buckaroos, call one of them numbers back on that sheet. All the teams are listed. You got on the front of your bulletin all the lay pastors and stuff. Just call somebody, ask somebody, get involved. There's plenty to do, I guarantee you. So we're all about growing a church spiritually. But God has taken us to the next level in this deal, guys. We will not always be in this little room that seats 630 people. The walls at some point, this thing's liable to seat 1,500 people right here. I don't know. But the next step is to do ministry, outreach ministry year-round out there. So we're asking you to pray about that. I know those boys last night, they were working their tails off and all the gals and everything. And I saw this joke that somebody sent me. I appreciate y'all sending me the jokes, especially the ones that were short. If they go past 3/4 of the page, I got to have somebody read them to me so it doesn't work, you know. But I looked at all the people working last night, and they had to feel something like this rancher. And I'll just read this to you. He's a small rancher, and he's in North Dakota. Y'all hear that? That means my time's up. If I go any further, I'm going to put y'all to sleep. So some of you I've already put to sleep, not for long though. All right, so here in North Dakota, they're out here in this rancher's area, and they had the Department of the Fair Labor Board, and they send a guy out there to his ranch, and they're going to put him on, you know, check him out, make sure he's paying all his laborers. And he says, I need a list of all your employees and how much you're paying all of them. And he says, well, the rancher replied to him. He says, here's my farm right here, and we got for 3 years right here I've had it, and I've paid this ranch hand $400 a week plus room and board. And my cook over here has been working with me for 18 months, and I pay her $300 a week plus room and board. And there's this halfwit, and he works 18 hours a day, does 90% of the work around here, and he makes $10 a week. $10 a week. And he said, that's the guy that I'm talking about right there, the halfwit. That is what the agent says. And he says, well, the rancher says, that would be me. Replied the rancher, maybe that's the way you feel. You feel like the halfwit. You feel like you're doing 90% of the work. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm sure proud of you. These guys that are working in all these ministry teams, I am proud of you, and God, I know, is proud of you, and God is taking us to the next level. You know, we're here today, and we're talking about celebrating the 4th of July and the freedom that we have as a country. But listen, there is a freedom that goes beyond that. I want to ask you, in your personal life, where's your freedom at with Jesus? How free are you right now? Now listen, if you come to Jesus, you are free from the bondage and jerk, snatch, tied hard hell. If you've come to Jesus, you're free from that. Guys, there's freedom in Christ. But if you have it, you're not. And I'm here today to give you a message of freedom, and his name is Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 16, verse 33, he replied, he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Well, what do you need to be saved from? Acts chapter 17, verse 31. I read it out there in the arena last night. It says, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by a man he has anointed or appointed. And that's Jesus Christ. See, we are going to be judged. And 8 seconds after we die, like I said last night, we're going to be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll give an account of our life. Listen, do you have freedom in your life today? Do you have freedom in your life knowing that you're going to heaven? Or are you still in the bondage and the chains of hell? Today, you can walk out of here a free woman. Today, you can walk out of here a free man. Let's get that right with the Lord. Let's pray. God, I just come to you. Thank you so much for the blessed privilege of being able to be here, preach your word, Lord. We're getting into this series, and I'm just asking you to really show us what we're about at Circle J Cowboy Church through your word. But there's some men and women here today and some young people that have surrendered their life to you, but they haven't been free because they're not putting their faith in you. They've been focusing on everything we could do or everything they could do. And Lord, take them beyond that. And sir, ma'am, you need to repent of not putting your faith in God. That's a sin. Worrying is a sin. And I know it's tough. Guys, I do it too. But you need to make a commitment to the lay and say, God, forgive me. I need you. I want to put my faith in you, in my family, in my job, in my finances, in this church. And today you may not have freedom in Jesus in that day of judgment. And you ought to be worried. The Bible says we're to seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And you're not sure about the freedom of your salvation. You don't have that freedom in Christ that I have in me, that I know the day, son, when I stand before him, I may not have done everything right, but I know I'm going to heaven, and I'm proud of that. You can have that too. If he's calling you today, answer that call. Two things. You got to repent. You got to turn direction in your life. Ask him to forgive you. And you got to invite him in to be your Lord, your Savior, your boss. And if you're willing to do that today, I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation. right here on this 4th of July. Say, God, this is a day that we celebrate our country's freedom. But right now, I don't have freedom in my life. I'm worried about hell. And I know right now, if I were to stand before you in that judgment, I don't have confidence. Will you give that freedom of confidence in Jesus to me right now? Will you forgive me of my choices, the sin I've done in my life, in Jesus' name? And God, I pray to receive Jesus. Say that. I pray to receive Jesus right now in my life. And you let him come in. Lord, you died for me. Now help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.